Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Iran has denied involvement in a drone attack on a US base near Jordan's border with Syria that killed three US troops. The US blamed the attack on radical Iranian-backed militant groups, which also left dozens injured. US President Joe Biden has vowed revenge and said, "We shall respond." Well, for more, I'm joined by Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. And Ray's also a former army officer who's worked in the region. But first, Richard Spencer, correspondent with the London Times in Tel Aviv. Richard, thank you for being with us this morning. So this attack, we're already seeing the fallout with Joe Biden saying he will respond. But what do you think any response from the United States might look like?
I think we have a good indication of that from previous attacks that have been somewhat lower profile because they didn't get lucky, I suppose, to put it bluntly, and didn't cause American deaths. There have been a series of attacks by these pro-Iran militias in both Syria and Iraq since October the 7th, and indeed before that, but particularly since October the 7th, the start of the war between Israel and Gaza. And on those occasions, Biden has hit back with targeted strikes, very much proportionate, I suppose, would be the word they'd use, and very specifically responding to those attacks. So there was an attack on a US base in Iraq in December, which led to airstrikes by America on pro-Iran bases in Iraq. And then before that, there were a number of incidents in Syria where there are also US bases and where there are also pro-Iran militias. And again, on that occasion, there were strikes on those US strikes on those pro-Iran militia bases in Syria. So I think they'll be looking to see where this attack came from and will be looking to respond in kind. There might have to be a more intense response because of the three American deaths. That's caused a big political fallout in America. Republicans say that Biden has not been hard enough on Iran, so he might be impelled to strike a bit harder. But I'd still expect him to respond in that vein, if you like, with targeted attacks on militia bases, probably in Syria, I would say.
Yeah, it all flows into the fact that we have a presidential election in the United States in November. Donald Trump has already been out pointing the finger at Joe Biden for being too soft here. But I just see Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, in the last little while urging Iran to de-escalate tensions in the Middle East. Overall, how do you rate this incident and this period of time in terms of its seriousness and where it might lead to?
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation. I mean, there is an argument in a way. I mean, it's slightly a bizarre argument, but if you think about it, it's quite a convincing one, that this is not an escalation by Iran. This is the opposite of an escalation by Iran. I'll explain why. What America really doesn't want to see is a massive war on a second front in Israel with an attack by Israel on its main enemy, its most powerful enemy in the region, which is Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Iran, it's said, does not want to see a full-blown war in which Israel tries to take out both Hamas and Hezbollah at the same time. So by doing these sort of like pinprick attacks on American interests in the broader Middle East, Iran can say it is doing something and it is showing its pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, anti-American credentials in the Middle East without provoking that full-scale war, if you like. The question is, can these pinprick attacks carry on in this way, in this sort of slightly controlled tit-for-tat manner? Strikes on either side without it becoming a full-scale war, either in Lebanon or, even bigger in Iran itself. That seems to be the calculation on both sides here.
Yeah, but that's a gamble, isn't it? It's keeping it at that level and there not being any mistake, any intentional incident that throws it into another realm.
Yeah, but there's gambles on all sides, right? So one of the big gambles everyone is looking at is what happens if President Biden is defeated by one presumes Donald Trump in the coming American election. What will he do? I mean, he's such a mercurial character. He says he wants to you know, concentrate on America, get America out of these wars in the Middle East and elsewhere. At the same time, he's got this Republican base that wants tougher action against Iran, a stronger defense of Israel, which seems to propel American policy in the opposite direction. There are just so many variables over the next 12 months in America's involvement in the Middle East, and therefore, you know, the whole security situation in the Middle East. So, yes, it is a gamble, but when you look at it in that context, these tit-for-tat attacks are only a small part of the uncertainty that you're facing in the region.
Thank you very much, Richard Spencer from the London Times in Tel Aviv. As I said, I have Ray Murphy with us as well from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway and, of course, former army officer who has worked in the Middle East. Ray, thanks for being with us this morning. You were listening there to Richard. You know, he talks about this being a tit-for-tat, but in a very measured way. Do you describe it in the same way?
Yes, Claire. Good morning first. And I would agree with everything that Richard has said. Both sides are responding in a quite measured and restrained way, but nonetheless, I would argue the situation is slowly escalating. And when you're engaged in actions of this nature, it's very easy to lose control of the situation on the ground. And it's already very volatile. We know what's happening in Gaza. We've seen the targeting of Houthi rebels in Yemen and various other incidents typified by this that happened yesterday. So on each occasion something like this happens, there's a further military response. And there's always a danger that the situation will escalate and bring Iran into direct conflict with the United States and possibly Israel. Now, I don't believe either state wishes that to happen, but you can't always control, especially non-state actors on the ground. And while Iran is supporting various non-state actors in parts of the Middle East, it doesn't control them in the way that sometimes they're depicted as doing so. Mm-hmm. So it is quite dangerous. And we've got to remember, the Iranians suffered a very significant loss 4 years ago when General Soleimani, a very charismatic leader of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards, was targeted by the Americans and killed outside Baghdad. And more recently, the Israelis targeted another significant leader in Syria, Syed Razi Mousavi. And each time they target somebody, then there is a similar response by the other side. And there is, especially on the northern border between Israel and Hezbollah, there is a real danger that that situation could escalate and we'd have a second outbreak of hostilities similar to what's happening in Gaza between Hezbollah and the Israeli Defense Forces. And that then would suck in or embroil various other actors in the region. So there's no point pretending this isn't linked to what's happening in Gaza. It is. But as Richard said, these tit-for-tat killings and attacks have been taking place long before the more recent outbreak of hostilities. Mm-hmm. This took place in Jordan, which also is an interesting case study in a very fragile neighborhood. It's a very fragile political situation in Jordan. King Abdullah is trying to maintain stability in his own country and trying to navigate a peace agreement that was made with Israel in 1994. But we have to remember that nearly 50% of the population of Jordan would consider themselves of Palestinian origin. Large numbers of them are refugees that fled from Palestine in 1948 and again in 1967. And that's a very difficult situation for King Abdullah, for this attack to have occurred in his territory, though it emanated from outside.
And Ray, can I ask you as well about the political situation in the United States, ramping this up in a not insignificant way when you have Donald Trump and some of the Republicans? I see one of the Republican senators saying the same, that there needs to be a devastating military retaliation. This is Tom Cotton. Given that we're in election year, that is a dangerous place for this to be in the midst of what's happening in the Middle East and the finger pointing then across the Atlantic.
Yeah, the Americans are always quick to project their military power, and they don't hesitate with using targeted assassinations and missile strikes and similar retaliatory action. Now, if the United States found itself actually deciding to target Iran directly, this could be a step across a red line from the point of view of the Iranian regime. If the United States targets the Houthis, targets other proxy forces throughout the Middle East, perhaps they can keep some control over the consequences. But there is a real danger in the United States, especially with the rhetoric from Trump and his acolytes, that this would lead to something more serious. And I would be fearful, like Richard said, about the outcome of the United States presidential elections later in the year. But prior to that, I mean, it's Biden will be under huge pressure to flex his muscles. He's already suffering domestically from those that want him to see him take firmer action against Israel to restrain Israel's military actions in Gaza, and on the other hand, from those that want to see the United States take a stronger side to support Israel and directly attack Iran.
Ray,
so he's in a no-win situation.
He's in a bind. He's in a bind. Ray, thanks very much for your expertise this morning. Ray Murphy there from the University of Galway and former Army officer. Face Up to Cancer next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.